Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, Spiritual Talk, Healing Done Right, Spiritual Growth, 12-Step Indigo, Meditation, and much, much more. Host of...
It's been a while. As we come to the close of another year, it's been a while. And I'm here. I don't even know where to begin. I really, honestly, and truly don't know where to begin. I have really, really been neglectful of a lot of things. I have been going through a lot of challenges on my own. Well, not really on my own. I've had people in my corner going through these challenges with me. Some far, far, far away, and some right around the corner. Some right here in the building. It's nice to have neighbors to talk to, even when you don't want to talk about what you are going through. It's nice to have people to add distractions to your thoughts so you're not dwelling on these things. I was supposed to do the principles of the 12 steps this year, one step a month, and I didn't do anything for the month of November because I was going through all kinds of like crazy stuff, you know, with this kidney stuff. My kidney's doing okay, not as well as I would like it to be doing, but then the doctors aren't sharing anything with me, so I don't know how good or bad what I'm going through is. You know, I can have all of these things going on in my mind to cause me to go crazy because they seem to be taking their time telling me exactly what it is I'm going through and how urgent it is for it to be fixed. So I just try to take my brain into other directions as often as possible. I found this wonderful, wonderful book that a friend of mine put me in touch with. And I've already read the introduction and the foreword and all of that stuff because the book is entitled Living in Gratitude, and there's 12 chapters. So there's a month per chapter. So I think we do this next year, 2023, perhaps we'll share living in gratitude together. You know, we'll do a chapter a month, and if anyone wants to purchase the book and read it on their own or have it, if we decide to go through it, her name is Angeles Arian. You pronounce her name, you know, you spell it A-N-G-E-L-E-S. And the last name is A-R-R-I-E-N. And she's the author of Living in Gratitude, A Journey That Will Change Your Life. Woo. Well, I definitely want to see what happens when I change my current life, because I've been going through changes for quite a while. Every time I turn around, I'm having a different life experience, and it's almost as though I've lived multiple lifetimes in this one life. So, you know, I grew up in Harlem, New York, and that was one lifetime. And then I moved to Utah. That was another lifetime that I spent. In each of my lifetimes, I've, after leaving New York, each of my lifetimes was almost the equivalent of 10 years. 10 years in each one of those lifetimes, and I've gone from names like Bootsy and Yo-Yo and Yolanda and Duchess and Olayinka and just different names. And so even in those various lifetimes, in this lifetime, I've had a different name that identified me. But, and I've grown, and it's been an amazing life. So hopefully I have more years ahead of me to do more things in different lifetimes. It's amazing. So let me see. We talked about living in gratitude and the possibility of going through that book for the next year. And that's a wonderful thing to do. Explore a journey of living in gratitude for an entire year. That should bring a lot of wonderful changes for a lot of people who would like to see how that works for them. In the meantime, for those of you who aren't in recovery or don't think you need a recovery program, I'm going to run off the list of recovery programs that I have in front of me, and you may find that one of these belongs to you. So we have the normal ones, or the ones that are well known. We have AA, we have Alcoholics Anonymous, we have Adult Children of Alcoholics, we have Al-Anon, Alateen Family Groups, we have Cocaine Anonymous, we have Clutterers Anonymous, we have Crystal Meth Anonymous, we have Co-Anon, that's for families and friends and families of addicts. We have CODA, that's Codependence Anonymous, for people working to end patterns of dysfunctional and relationships and develop functional and healthy relationships. We have COSA, formerly Codependence of Sex Addicts. We have COSEX and Love Addicts Anonymous, Chronic Pain Anonymous, Debtors Anonymous, Emotions Anonymous, Emotional Health Anonymous. We have Families Anonymous for relatives and friends of addicts. We have Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous. We have Food Addicts. We have Gamblers Anonymous. We have GAM Anon. That's for friends and family members of problem gamblers. We have Heroin Anonymous. We have Internet and Technology Addicts Anonymous. You didn't know there was a program for Internet and Technology Addicts Anonymous, did you? We have Marijuana Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous. We also have Nail Biters Anonymous. We have NAR Anon for friends and family members of addicts. We have Nicotine Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous, Online Gamers Anonymous. We have Pills Anonymous for recovery from prescription pill addiction. We have Sexaholics Anonymous, Smokers Anonymous, Nicotine Anonymous. We have Sex Addicts Anonymous, Sexual Compulsive Anonymous, Sugar and Carb Addicts Anonymous, Survivors of Incest Anonymous, Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous, Self-Mutilators, those are your cutters, Anonymous, Under-Earners Anonymous, and Workaholics Anonymous. So, if I named your anonymous group, please feel free to contact me at duchessontheair@gmail.com, and I'll put you in tune or in line with your addiction. You know, it's no shame, no shame, no blame, no shame. There are recovery programs for just about anything that you feel you need to be recovered from, or you feel like you're doing too much of. And so with that, most of these recovery programs follow the guidelines of AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. And so the big book is usually their guide, and that's the original book of AA. And in the big book, it always starts out with every single one of these programs, most of them, not all of them, they will read how it works. And here's how it works from the recovery book of AA. How it works is chapter 5, starting on page 58. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program, usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. They are such unfortunate. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders. But many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any lengths to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these, we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with our addictions, or as the big book says, we deal with alcohol. Cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures avail us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol or our addictions and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and or addicts to practice the principle and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us exclaim, what in order? I can't go through with it. Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. Claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. Our description to the alcoholic, the chapter to the agnostic, and our personal invention before and after make clear three pertinent ideas. A, that we were alcoholics, or in your case, addicted, and could not manage your own lives, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism, or in your case, addiction. that God could and would if he was sought. Okay? So those are the 12 steps. That's how it works. That's how it works. That's how it has worked for lots and lots and lots of folks, you know, over the years in AANA, OA, CA, GA. That's how it works. You know, they just follow these steps in all their affairs. So let's look at the principle. Now we're at principle. For those of you who are just joining us, we did the principle starting in January, and we looked at the first principle, that was your surrender because you admitted your powerlessness. The second principle was the second step, you know, that's hope, because you came to believe that a power greater than yourself could restore you to sanity. And you looked at your third principle, which is the third step. When you make that decision, that's your commitment principle. Your fourth step is honesty. That's when you make a searching and fearless moral inventory of yourself. All right? Then you go into your fifth principle, you know, because you have to admit to God, yourself, and another human being the exact nature of your wrongs. That fifth principle is about truth, being honest. There's honest, and then there's telling the truth. And why do you have to admit to God, yourself, and another human being? Because you can just admit yourself to God, and that's in private. When you admit yourself, your truth to another human being, then that means you're coming clean. You're letting it out. You know, you're not hiding behind, you know, that little secret little meeting that you have with you and your higher power. Then you get to the sixth principle, which is for the sixth step, entirely ready to have your creator remove all those defects of character. That means you're willing. That's your willingness. Seventh principle, humility. When you humbly ask to have your shortcomings removed, that's your humility when you humbly ask. The eighth step was reflection. You make a list of persons you had harmed and became willing to make amends to them. You're reflecting on those things that you have done in the past. Then you have your ninth step. That's your amendment. May direct amends to such people. An amends is so much greater than an apology. An amends is a change in your in your actions towards people. It means that you're making a change. An apology is I'm sorry for the moment. An amends means that you are willing to change what you did and be sorry for what you did, and you know within yourself you'll never ever do such a thing again. That's an amends, so much greater than an apology. Okay? And then when you continue to take personal inventory every day, you know, reflect over what you've done that day, or you've done something and you need to tell somebody, I admit that I was wrong, you know, when we were wrong, promptly admitted. That's vigilance. That's the principle of the 10th step, being vigilant. Now, let's do this 11th step. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with our Creator as we understood him. Praying only for knowledge of our Creator's will for us and the power to carry that out. You know, that's spirit. That's your inner self. That's you, your spirit, your essence. It's attunement. So the principle of attunement prompts you to remember the positive lessons you have learned and to remain receptive to the messages of recovery. These messages can come in any form and from any source. Come from your higher power, come from your peers, come from your counselors, or even from life itself, which can be the harshest teacher of all. For example, your higher power may speak to you through your peers in a recovery group, or maybe at church, or maybe at a work, in a meeting, or in a 12-step support meeting. you may hear something in their familiar story that is perfectly applicable to your own personal situation. But in order to hear that message, baby, you got to be listening. You got to be listening. You can't be sitting there on your cell phone doing your little crossword puzzle just to be present. You got to be listening. So applying this principle also requires that you work on consciously increasing your awareness of yourself, your physical and mental state, your emotions and thoughts, your actions and reactions, and your personal situation. This awareness is so important because it helps you recognize and address problems before they become major issues that could jeopardize everything you have worked for. So it means being consciously aware. That's what it means. It means, walking in conscious awareness. Many people in recovery achieve this self-awareness through some combination of prayer and or meditation. Now, we talked about meditation before because meditation, when you learn to meditate, you learn to enter into the field of pure potentiality. That's what Deepak Chopra calls it. You know, and then after a while, you meditate for a while, you become consciously aware of things that most people aren't consciously aware of because they don't enter into that field of pure potentiality. So as with the other steps, becoming attuned to the will of your higher power requires practice. Getting in the daily habit of finding a solitary, quiet place where you can be more receptive. Okay? As the 11th step says, there are two things you hope to gain. You hope to gain knowledge, and that knowledge is you want to hear what your higher power is trying to tell you. And the only way you can gain that particular knowledge to hear is when you enter into that void of pure potentiality, that quietness. You know, that be still and let it be known that I am, because I am that I am. And when you enter into that field of pure potentiality, you begin to be attuned to the awareness of all things around you. All right? And the other thing is that power. You want the resources and the ability to do the things that you should. And once you're familiar with that void of pure potentiality, the answers to your questions as to what to do next and how to do things next automatically pops up in your head, and you just don't have a clue where it came from, but it filtered through from that void of pure potentiality. So that's the 11th step that I missed last month. I'm sorry that I missed it last month, but I'm glad that I have the opportunity to share it with you today. Now, let's talk about the 12th principle, or the 12th step, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. We tried to carry this message to 12 steppers and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Remember, these 12 principles are not only for AA folks, it's for anybody out there that's traveling on a journey of the 12-step program. So, the principle of the 12th step is service. Service is a powerful culmination of everything that has come before. It incorporates several key concepts. Okay? It incorporates spiritual awakening. And this refers to the profound change that successful recovery can bring to your life. You know, It is more than just abstaining from your addiction to drugs, alcohol, or any other addiction you may have. It also is about achieving emotional health, sanity, stability, and serenity. It is about changing the way you treat others and how you treat yourself. I watch people in early recovery, and I listen to the nouns and pronouns they still use, and I just listen because they're still in that kind of judgmental mode, you know, calling people out of their name, well, that's so-and-so and so. And that's early recovery. Once you are in recovery for a while, you look at people in such a way that you realize that they are themselves and they have a right to be themselves as long as they don't interject themselves on you. And if they try to, you just step aside. You know, it's like the art of war. When you allow somebody to not, for you not to be forceful against them, what you do is you allow them to use their own negativity against themselves by stepping aside. Oh, sometimes my favorite thing to do is when I'm on the telephone with somebody who's being really negative, I get real quiet and allow them to be as negative as they want to be so they have an opportunity to hear themselves. That's a good way to be. Let them hear themselves. So what you're doing, you're just sidestepping so they can have an opportunity to be with themselves in your presence. I think that's a, I love doing that. The other thing about service is, you know, carrying the message. No one can reach a struggling addict or alcoholic quite like someone who has been where they are, done what they have done, felt what they feel. Just as some of your greatest inspiration came from other people who successively recovered by using these steps, so too can you inspire others. And that goes for anything in life. When you share your life experiences with other people, or you've gone there, or you know, you've been there, done that, that's most helpful to a lot of people struggling, or it can even offer them a shortcut to not have to go to the extent that you've gone through to get over to the other side. And here's the best part. By giving someone else the roadmap to recovery, you will also find it easier to stay on the path, the right path. Helping others keeps you clean, sober, and sane as well. Practice these principles. It wasn't just the steps that got you to this point. It was also applying the principles behind those steps. Although, in this instance, these concepts help you regain your sobriety and your sanity, they are applicable in almost every area in your life. You know? It's amazing. So let's see. For example, imagine how much you would benefit if you were honest. Aha. Imagine how much you would benefit from being humble and vigilant in your professional life, or how your personal relationships would blossom if they were filled with hope and commitment. The value of having principles during recovery are amazing. Some people think of the 12 steps as a roadmap that can guide their sober journey, and that analogy isn't far off. However, how good is a roadmap that gives you directions but doesn't tell you about any obstacles along the way? You know, I like my ways. It tells me when there's a little, it has little picture, little icon of police ahead, sitting there on the road. They're letting me know, uh-oh, there's a cop up ahead. Uh-oh, there's a stalled car up ahead. So how good is a roadmap that gives you directions but doesn't tell you about the obstacles along the way? And I look, oh, you're headed for, there's a traffic stop up ahead, you know, and it shows all these cars along the, I love my little Waze guide, you know. There's a red light camera. Be careful, red light camera. So, I mean, I could still reach my destination, but it would be a lot harder and take much longer. That is the purpose of the 12 principles. Once again, I like my little way, God. Sometimes I'll be doing, and I know where I'm going, and I know how I'm supposed to go, but because this is the way I go, I just want you on for company. And you start directing me off into another, and I'm like, where is this thing taking me? And it's amazing, because when it veers off and it takes me a different direction, I have passed so much traffic. I love it. So, once again, you know, it's nice and it's easier, but it's a lot harder, you know, if we take, and it might take longer if you go without telling me what's ahead. So, when you work on each step in recovery, reflect on the underlying guiding principle. Don't just do what the individual step is telling you. Think about why you are doing it. When you fully realize why each step is so important, you are far less likely to stubbornly and foolishly try to do things your own way. You get out of it what you put in. One very famous 12-step quote that is often repeated at the close of the meeting is, it works if you work it. So work it, you're worth it. Works if you work it, it won't if you don't. I like it works if you work it, so work it, you're worth it. Keep one very important thing in mind. Recovery is a process. It's not perfection. Sometimes our progress will be slow, and sometimes you may even stumble. But the beauty of the steps and principles is that you can always start over or pick up where you left off. Go at your own pace, because recovery is not a race. As long as you are trying, it doesn't matter when you arrive, only that you will eventually make it. I think that is amazing. Only that you eventually make it. Think about it. Because as long as you're trying, you're not going to go off by the wayside, you know? If you stumble and fall, you get up and start again. It's one of those programs where they say it's progress, not perfection. And you have so many others who have gone ahead of you to help you along the way. So there you go. It's a wonderful thing. So like the third step says, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I might better do thy will. Oh, please take away my difficulties, that victory over them will bear witness to those that I would help. Thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May thy will be done always. Thy will, not mine, be done always. And so with the close of this year, my goal is to learn the 7-step AA prayer. I like that 7-step prayer. I learned it, the 3rd step. This is the 7th step, is the humility step. And I'm going to learn that before the opening of the new year. That's my promise to myself. And that seven-step prayer is basically my creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. That is the one that I'm going to study for the coming new year. Oh, I was at a meeting the other day, and they talked about betrayal. And a lot of people don't realize that your seven chakras and their blockages coincide with many of your illnesses. You know, now I'm not going to go through all of them. I'm just going to talk about one, mine. You know, but you can go to your chakras and Google chakras and find out which body parts or internal organs each chakra is assimilated with. And once you realize that your headaches may be governed by something that you're doing mentally or emotionally and that kind of thing, and once you fix that, perhaps the headaches will go away. Now, I have an issue with the kidney, the lower back. I have colon issues. I had these issues, you know, even the abdominal thing. And it dawned on me that I had to fix certain emotions that I was having that affected those particular organs. Like the act of betrayal is right there in the solar plexus and the sacral area or chakra areas, you know. And if I have blockages in the chakra area, I may very well have physical dynamics going on internally in that area. And it dawned on me at this particular meeting where the thought of betrayal came up. It was amazing that I realized that for almost 23 years, I thought I had turned something over to my higher power. And in that meeting, it's amazing. Here is getting ready to have 27 years of sobriety, and I work with many, many sponsees to turn over their will and their life over to the care of their higher power and their fourth step, you know, made a fearless and searching moral inventory of themselves and admitted to God themselves and another human being, exact nature of their own, that I was holding on to something that I hadn't let go 27 years ago. In the 27 years of my sobriety, I thought I had let that stuff go. And so I woke up one morning after that meeting, and I decided to physically, orally, mentally, emotionally turn over that issue. And, you know, hopefully turning that thing over the other morning is going to clear up some physical stuff that I've been going through. You know, you never, never, never know how this stuff works. So if you have any types, there are people out there who are so bitter. They are so bitter. They carry this bitter, nasty, angry thing within them. They do not know or realize that all of that angst is making you physically and emotionally and psychologically sick. You know what I'm saying? It's like so sad to be holding on to this stuff. You know, to be mean, evil, and nasty towards any and everybody. It's making you sick. It's poisoning your system. What do they say in recovery? It's like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. It ain't happening, honey. It's literally, not figuratively, it's literally making you sick. So once you learn how to turn over that stuff, it'll be better for you. You know? What else do I want to share with you? I might go to this meeting tonight because I like what they said that they were going to be talking about. I put it in our title, not so much our title, but the description of tonight's meeting. The title, another end of the year closing. And this is from Hazelden's Betty Ford website. They have the Betty Ford Recovery Center in Newport, Rhode Island up there. I didn't go up there because I didn't want people in my community or bump into some of my clients. So I did my sobriety at Galls and all up in Massachusetts. And still bumped into somebody who had graduated from Gosnell. But what we're going to have to understand is that endurance can be nobler than strength. You know, I have this thing where I'm supposed to be exercising and getting steps in. And just like in any recovery program, I mean, that's my addiction, you know, laying around. I lay around rather than walk. And I can feel the muscles in my legs becoming gel. And pretty soon, if I don't strengthen the muscles in my legs, they just gonna give out on me. You know, I really don't need that. But I'm always thinking I can find an easier, softer way. Like the How It Works says, some people think they can find an easier, softer way, but the result was nil, and that's what's going on in my life if I don't do something. So endurance, and I need to remember this, that endurance can be nobler than strength, and patience more so than beauty. So I was looking at this website, and I read what it said, and it was really thought-provoking. So let me share it with you. It's hard to keep from trying to control the lives of others, especially in a family. How many of you are finding that out over the holidays, the coming holidays? You know, we can learn from the man whose friend drove 20 miles to and from work on the freeway every day. I did that to UPS for 20 years. It was about 26 miles to and from work every day for 20 years. You don't know what a feat that was until you've completed it. You don't have to do it anymore. It's like, oh my gosh, I did that for 20 years, to and from for 26 miles. Well, this gentleman asked his friend, how can you do it? I've tried, and I can't go a mile in one, and I can't go a mile in such traffic without screaming at the crazy drivers who cut in, go too slow, change lanes. Nobody listens. I'd lose my mind if I had to do it your way. His friend replied, your trouble is trying to drive every car around you. I relax and drive only one car, my own. Now, how fascinating is that? He relaxed. And he drives only one car, his own, That's it. We have only our own lives to live, and this is usually enough to keep us busy. If we pay too much attention to how others live, we will neglect ourselves. I found that fascinating because when I look back on the years, the 20 years that I drove back and forth to UPS to work, and I left my house at 6 o'clock in the evening. Nope, I left at 5:45 because 5:15 because I had to be there at 6 in the evening. You imagine right now I would be on my way to work if it was Monday in the dark, in the night, going to work for 20 years. But I noticed with me and this particular little story, I used to enjoy the scenery on my way to work. That's what kept me going. I didn't care about the cars. I mean, I cared about them because I had to make sure that I didn't have an accident. But if they wanted my right-of-way, they got my right-of-way. Yeah, you can have it. I'm in no hurry. And that's the way I drive today. I give myself enough time that I'm not in a hurry. I don't want to rush. I want to enjoy the sight. And I'm really thrilled when somebody is driving me somewhere because then I can look at all the things that I couldn't see when I was driving myself. But I like to drive. But remember that. Relax and drive only one car, your own. We have only our own lives to live, and this is usually enough to keep us busy. If we pay too much attention to how others live, we will neglect ourselves. Okay, family. I don't have very much more to share except to reiterate the book Living in Gratitude. I can give you a blurb on the book. The back cover says, what would happen if you made gratitude your focal point for one full year? With Living in Gratitude, Angelus Alion invites you to find out. Integrating the latest teachings from social science with stories, prayers, and practices from cultures and traditions spanning the globe, she presents a 12-month plan for making gratitude your foundation for daily living. Opening with themes such as beginning anew and the power of equanimity, and progressing to letting be and letting go, the mystic heart, and more, readers will steep themselves in the parent of all virtues, exploring how to overcome habitual tendencies toward envy, comparison, and narcissism, blessings, learnings, mercies, and protections, the four portals to the grateful heart, and how to cultivate these key entryways in our work, relationships, health, finances, and personal growth. And journaling and reflecting exercises, perennial and indigenous wisdoms, and universal practices every season and situation. The practice of gratitude bestows many benefits. Anger, arrogance, and jealousy melt in its embrace. Fear and defensiveness dissolve. Gratitude diminishes barriers to love and evokes happiness, keeping alive what has meaning for us. Living in Gratitude is a dependable resource for making this cherished virtue your guiding light along life's journey. So there you go. Let's try. Get the book to read on your own. Don't get it because I say I'm going to do it through the month of, through the year of 2023 because I may change my mind. So don't get the book because you think I'm going to do that and on the programs because I would be doing that for the whole entire, what do you say, for each month, you know, at both sessions. So we would talk about living in gratitude. Like, say, for instance, if we do the first chapter, you know, we do the first 4 to 8 pages. If it's 16 pages in that chapter, then we're going to do 8 pages on the first of the month, and we're going to do the other pages on the third Sunday of the month. But anything can happen. So I don't want you buying the book because of me. I want you to buy the book because it's something you'd be interested in reading on your own, whether I'm working through it on the show or not. Remember when we did the 28 lessons on are you recapturing your indigo spirit? Well, that's what I want to do with living in gratitude. I want to keep a flow going. Okay, you take care. I love everyone. May you have a happy, happy holiday season, no matter what your holiday is, okay? And have a joyous and prosperous new year. Please do. All is well. I love you. I'm glad to be here this evening. Good night. Mwah. Thank you.